Jesus said, I will give you peace, but not as the world gives peace. Real peace comes from a person who is also known as the Prince of Peace. As you turn in your Bibles to the Old Testament book of Judges, chapter 2, I want to acknowledge Sister Pam Turner. I think she may have just stepped out for these beautiful decorations that she was able to put together, these balloons. Let's give it up for Pam. And you can hire her. What she does for the church is free, but what she'll do for you is for a fee. So give Pam a call. She is excellent in what she does. Sister Stephanie Steele, would you stand, please? It is her birthday today. Any other May birthdays? May birthdays, stand. May birthdays. May birthdays. May birthdays. Oh, woo. Happy birthday, everybody. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Let's pray together. Oh, God, thank you for being the kind of God that would not only want to bless us, but also keep us. The kind of God who goes before us, who's also watching us from behind and is propping us up on every leaning side. What an amazing God you are. You are the only wise God. And we're so thankful for the fact that although you sit high enthroned in glory, you look low. And you know each one of our names. You know all that we're going through, all of the struggles, the pain. You know all of the hairs that are on our head. We thank you that you are omniscient, omnipresent, and omnipotent. We choose today to worship you in spirit and in truth. We choose not to worship ourselves, our circumstances, our situations, our friends, our enemies. We choose to worship the true and living God. Thank you that you receive our praise, that you receive our worship, because it's all filtered through your grace and your mercy. Oh God, now as I stand before your people to just share a little bit from your word, I thank you that the word is living. My sermon is not, but the word will not return void, but my sermon just may. So help me to stay more in the word than in my own thoughts. We bless you. I pray for a harvest from the word. I pray for a transformation of minds from the word of God today, starting first and foremost with this broken preacher. I ask it all in the only name that matters, in the only name that can get me through to your throne room, the name of Jesus. And all of God's people said, amen, amen. In all of my years of education, I've come to realize that there are basically two kinds of teachers, Brother Yuri. Two kinds of teachers. Teachers who want to see you pass. And then there are teachers who want to see you pass out. There are two kinds of teachers now. Y'all have had those kind of teachers that want to see you pass out. Their joy is to break you. Their joy is to make the challenges of the course or the class so strong, so high, so insurmountable that if anyone does get through, that teacher is surprised. Now, I don't mind a teacher or a professor who's going to work me hard. I don't mind that. But the reason why I don't mind that is that when you're giving me a rigorous education that's also coupled with loving guidance, oh, I can work for a teacher like that. But when there's a teacher who wants to give you so much strain and stress in the course that sometimes they put out questions that they don't even know the answer to. Man, those kind of professors, oh, they want to see you pass out. I'm so thankful that God is the kind of teacher who wants to see us pass. He wants to see us succeed. He wants to see us have victory. I'm so glad that Jesus, who is also known as the teacher, capital T, wants to see you and wants to see me pass in the things of life. But Satan, however, is also a teacher. And he is the kind of teacher who wants to see us pass out. He wants to see us give up. He wants to see us quit. You see, God will use a test to grow us. But Satan will use the same test in order to destroy us. You see, I'm in a new series this morning on the book of Judges. We'll spend a few weeks in the book of Judges because there are several jewels in this book. And the reason why I want to jump into this series, Jewels from Judges, is because there are so many hidden jewels in this book. And in order to find the jewels, the wisdom of God, you got to dig. Because in the book of Judges, we're going to see transition. Transition from the leadership of Joshua, who passes in chapter 2, to the leadership of various judges. Not only are they there to judge the situations of the people of God, the way we would see someone in a chancery court today, but they are also there to lead the people militaristically and also spiritually. So they're transitioning from Joshua, who came from Moses, and now there are going to be a number of judges, men and women, who are going to lead God's people further into the promised land towards their destiny that God has ordained for them. And so there's transition from one leader to another leader, from one land to another portion of the land. There's also jewels of leadership in this book. And so we're going to learn about leadership, what to do, what not to do, because each and every one of us in our own right is a leader. So we're going to learn what to do, what not to do. Some of the judges are going to start off very well, and then they're going to end up very bad. Some are going to be bad the whole way through, but we're going to glean some wisdom as the Lord allows. And then also, probably the main thing in the book of Judges is that there is a cycle in this book with the people of God. And it's a cycle that many of us can identify with. I know that I can. And this cycle starts off when they start sinning against God. They sin against God and they turn to the idols of the land. And so God sends them into slavery or captivity to the Hivites or the Jebusites, the Philistines. They're in slavery or captivity. And after being in slavery, they start crying out to God or offering supplication to him. God hears their moans, their groans, their prayers, and their cries, and he frees them by sending a judge who brings salvation for them. And when this judge comes, he delivers the people of God from the enemies of God. And so there's sin, there is servitude or slavery, then there's salvation through a judge that leads to solace or peace for a number of years. But when that judge dies, so does their commitment to God. And the cycle starts all over again to sin, to slavery, to supplication, to salvation, to solace, to sin, to slavery, on and on and on and on. And the book closes by saying everyone did that which was right in their own eyes. My goodness, we're going to have fun in the book of Judges. But I got to warn you. I'll get into this more next week because my time is limited today. But the book of Judges is rated R. The book of Judges is rated R for violence. There's so much violence in the book of Judges. So I encourage you to read along with me during this series, but also recognize that there is a lot of bloodshed in the book of Judges. But today, to get this started off, we're going to talk about something that God did before the first judge named Othniel took his position as judge. And that is, God decided, I'm going to test Israel. I'm going to test my people. And whatever you're going through today, when you find yourself in a test, something that's hard, something that is arduous, something that's complicated, something that is strenuous, when you find yourself in a test of life, because Jesus said in this life you will have tribulations, you will have tests. When you find yourself there, trust the teacher. Trust the teacher. He doesn't want you to pass out. He wants you to do what? Pass. And so he is setting you up to grow up, and he's going to use a test to do it. Judges chapter 2, beginning at verse 21. Reading from the New International Version this morning, the Bible says, I will no longer drive out before them any of the nations Joshua left when he died. I will use them to test Israel and see whether they will keep the way of the Lord and walk in it as their forefathers did. So God says, the nations that were not driven out, I'm going to use them to test my people. And then in chapter 3, verse 1, these are the nations the Lord left to test all those Israelites who had not experienced any of the wars in Canaan. He did this only to teach warfare to the descendants of the Israelites who had not had previous battle experience. The five rulers of the Philistines, all the Canaanites, the Sidonians, and the Hivites living in the Lebanon mountains from Mount Baal Hermon to Lebo Hamath. They were left there to test the Israelites to see whether they would obey the Lord's commands, which he had given their forefathers through Moses. So let's talk real quickly on the subject of this is a test. This is a test. And as you go back to chapter 3, verse 1, these are the nations the Lord left to test all those Israelites who had not experienced any of the wars in Canaan. And then it says in verse 2, which is a parenthetical comment, he did this only to teach warfare to the descendants of the Israelites who had not had previous battle experiences. So God used the surrounding Canaanite nations to test Israel with the purpose of growing their individual and collective faith in him. So the ultimate goal of a test from God's perspective is not only for us to pass, but for us to grow. Grow spiritually in our relationship with him. Grow spiritually in such a way where people around us can see that the Lord is our teacher and we are growing under his leadership. And so God says, I'm going to leave the nations to teach you. To teach you how to trust me. To teach you how to rely on me. Now, there's another portion in the book of Judges that says that the generation that came after Joshua when he died, that generation did not know the Lord the way previous generations did. So they weren't trained and raised up in the things of God. And neither, according to chapter 3, had this generation that didn't know God, they didn't experience any battles themselves. So this is a whole new situation here, y'all. I'm going somewhere, and I hope you can go with me as I go, because God is going to use the surrounding nations to test them in order to grow their faith individually and collectively to rely on God and not on the idols of the land. And he's also going to teach this generation that never experienced war before how previous generations trusted in God to fight their battles. So I got to go back to this now, because he's setting them up to pass. But guess what Israel did? They failed the test. Look at Judges chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. I'm going to use them to test you. I'm also going to teach this generation war because they've never had to fight like previous generations. Verse 5 says, the Israelites lived among the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. They took their daughters in marriage and gave their own daughters to their sons and served their gods. They failed the test. God was setting them up to succeed. They chose failure by compromising with the people of the land. Rather than defeating them, they were defeated because they allowed their children to intermarry with them. This has nothing to do about race, but everything to do about, quote unquote, religion, that they worship other gods as opposed to Yahweh. So my question is, what is God using to grow you? What kind of test are you in right now? Is it financial? Is it relational? Is it physical? Is it mental? Is it emotional? Is it spiritual? Is it something with your friends? What kind of test are you in? Again, we want to remind you that God wants you to grow. He doesn't want you to growl. He wants you to grow. The Bible says, count it all joy when you encounter various trials and temptations. I must confess, there are times when I'm going through a test, I growl. But God wants me to grow. And one way I grow is by saying, I have joy in the midst of this thing. I'm not rejoicing because of the pain of the test, but I'm rejoicing in what the test is going to produce in me eventually. I'm rejoicing in the fact that I'm going to look more like Christ because I've spent time looking for Christ and looking to Christ in the middle of whatever I'm going through that's so hard that makes me want to quit and wonder, is God still good? We go through those tests, and everything we go through is to bolster our faith, not to crush us. Mm-mm. God wants to grow us, and he'll use the test. So what are you going through? How is God trying to mature you right now? Who is God using you in order to grow you? Well, Israel failed the test, but God didn't give up on them because he kept giving them makeup test after makeup test after makeup test until Judges would lead into the era, into the time of the kings when Saul and David would come. So they failed the test, but God is going to retest them, just like God does with us. God is not the kind of teacher who will skip us to the next spiritual grade without us learning what he has for us at this stage. A lot of us want to skip elementary school and go to high school, and we can't read, write, and do arithmetic. God's like, I got to put you back in spiritual first grade until you learn the lesson I have for you there. Because I'm not going to give you new revelation until you act on the revelation I've already shown you. God won't skip anybody. No. We got to grow. So what can we learn, Pastor Chris, as you bring this message to a close, from Israel? A generation that was tested by the nations around them. God wanted to teach this generation war because they're about to experience some war. The previous generation under Moses and Joshua fought battles. But this generation with the judges, they are inheriting what others fought for them. They have awakened into privilege. They don't know the battles of their ancestors. And God loves to use battles in order to get the people who are in the battle to trust him for the deliverance in the battle. So God says, I'm going to grow them. Oh, yeah, I'm going to grow them. So what can we learn? Romans chapter 15, verse 4 says, for everything that was written in the past was written to do what? Teach us, so that through endurance and encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. So when you read these stories, learn. When you read these stories, listen. When you read these stories, insert yourself there, because there's so much to learn. There's nothing new under the sun. And the God we serve is the same yesterday, help me out, and what? So there's something to learn. That's where wisdom comes from. Sometimes we learn by watching what other people did wrong. That's wisdom. When your siblings got a beating, you said, oh, what did they do to get that? So you learn. But what is Strong Tower? We are going through a test right now as a nation. I'm going to land this plane. Strong Tower, what if right now we're going through a test as a nation, even as a church or the church? Because judgment is going to start first at the house of God. What if we're going through something right now that's a test like Israel went through? What if God is using this president, 47 with 34? What if God is using this administration to test his church so that we can see what is in our hearts about whether or not we're going to obey God or whether we're going to obey politicians? What if God wants to teach us how to fight for justice the way previous generations had to fight? What if God is using all of this to grow us? You see, I was born the year that Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated. which was 1968. On the night before he was killed, he talked about the promised land. And he said, I may not get there with you, but we as a people will get to the promised land. Next day, he was assassinated at the Lorraine Motel, standing on the balcony. I would like to say that when I was born later that year in July, that I was born into the promised land. You see, Martin Luther King was leading a group of people who had just come out of slavery 100 years or so ago when he gave the I Have a Dream speech in 1963. So with the Emancipation Proclamation in 1863, freeing slaves in southern territories and allowing some to even fight for the Union Army, he looked at that day saying, 100 years later, we are still fighting for our justice and equity and unity in this country. And so as a result of various forms of legislation that was passed, which I'll go through quickly in a moment, he was able to see his people get into, or rather, he was able, like Moses, to go to the mountaintop and look over and see what was going to happen in the future. But he wouldn't go with us any more than Moses went with Israel into their promised land. But I was born into the promised land. I was born with privileges. Now, I still have fights my 57 years of life. But I didn't have to fight the battles that my father, grandfather, and ancestors had to fight in order for me to get to this place. You see, I could go to school wherever I wanted. I could live wherever I wanted. Redlining had been shut down. And I could eat wherever I wanted because of what previous generations, the battles, the wars they had to fight. And I also could vote without obstruction. My father's generation didn't know about that. My grandfather's generation did not know about that. My great-grandfather's generation did not know about that. But they fought so that I could grow up into the promised land. But sometimes when you're in the promised land, you get soft. And you take stuff for granted. And you watch grainy black and white videos of people getting bit by police dogs and hosed down by firemen and being beaten with clubs and lynched and all that. We look at that and we don't really appreciate that because privilege has allowed us to fall asleep, if you will. But in a little over 100 days since January 20th, we've been looking at stuff a little bit differently now. Because for black people, civil rights happened for us in America because of the black church and not because of the white church. Now, some people from the white church joined the black church as there was this press towards freedom. But no, it wasn't the white church. Social progress happened for black people in America because of the Civil War that was won by the North. And listen to this, because of legislation. There were amendments made to the Constitution saying that we were citizens, saying that we were free, even though they kind of put a little something in there with a jail and prison in there, but we were free from slavery. And so any movements that happened in this so-called Christian nation where black people would move from being powerless to being empowered, it didn't happen because white folks from the church did it. It happened because a war was won, the black church stood strong, and because laws were passed. I'm going somewhere. 1954, Brown versus Board of Education. Thurgood Marshall won that case, casting down segregation in public schools and casting down the so-called doctrine of separate but equal. It was anything but equal, even though we were separate. Discrimination was the rule. And so they won that case, even though years before, Plessy versus Ferguson, we lost that case to try to integrate trains. We lost that. But then we won this one in 1954. But isn't it strange that in 1954, when public schools could be integrated, that's when you start seeing Christian academies popping up all over the place for white children to go to because they didn't want to go to school with us. America. And then in 1965, the passing of the Civil Rights Act, which allowed for black people in particular to be able to go where we wanted to go and live where we wanted to live. It outlawed discrimination based on race, color, religion, sex, and national origin. That just wasn't given to us. We had to vote for that. We had to march for that. We had to legislate for that. And then in 1965, the Voting Rights Act, which outlawed discriminatory voting practices and aimed to ensure equal voting rights for all citizens. And all black people in particular, listen to me, if you're 60 years old or younger, you were born into this privilege. You were born into social and legal privileges that we did not have to fight for. We inherited. And that may explain why some of us may not have as much of a thought of God or a relationship with God, just like the Israelites, because they were taking all that the previous generations had fought for and their faith in God, that they just sat in a place of deliverance and they took their eyes off God. They never had a battle. But God says, as the ultimate teacher, we're going to fix that in a minute, because I'm going to send some quizzes. Remember them pop quizzes that you didn't see coming? We got a quiz today. We got a test. We got a test today. And my goal is to see you grow. My goal is to see you pass. I don't want to see you pass out. I want to see you use. Because when God tests us, God is not testing us to find out how much we know. No, God is testing us to find out how much we're willing to apply what we know. I want you to grow. I want you to grow. So here we are in this day where for the first time in 60 years, our civil rights are being challenged. For the first time in 60 years, voting rights are being challenged and tampered with. For the first time in 60 years, our history is looking to be erased from the face of American education. For the first time in 60 years, now citizenship rights are being questioned by those in the executive branch. For the first time in 60 years, our freedom of speech is being challenged. And the question is, what are we going to do in this battle? What are we going to do when our governor, professing Christian Bill Lee, signs a new law last week making it illegal to harbor undocumented immigrants? But show me how that jives with scripture. Yeah, I know we have an immigration problem. President after president has punted it to the next administration, punted it to the next administration. And so, yeah, there's a problem, and there's a way to work out certain pathways to citizenship that are edifying to everyone. There's a way to do it. But to just try to arbitrarily come down hard on it and deport people without due process, no matter what the judge and the Supreme Court says, that this president is going against that and does not care. We're in a day where, guess what? We got to fight now. We just can't rest on our laurels of what our ancestors did to put us in this place. No, it's our turn now. But what are we going to do? As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. And as for me and Strong Tower Bible Church, we will be instruments of justice for Jesus. We will continue to say the way our ancestors said, an unjust law is no law at all. And as we see in scripture, we will break those laws in the name of Jesus. Yeah. We're in our human rights moment as our parents were in their civil rights movement. My father was there in 1963 at the March on Washington with his brother, my uncle. Some of us who are here today have lived through all of this, and now the cycle is bringing us back. But are we going to fail this test, or are we going to pass this test? Here's why I'm encouraged as I close. I'm encouraged because we have history on our side. We have history on our side. We not only have biblical history on our side, we have American history on our side. We do not have to reinvent the wheel. We do not have to come up with something new. No, we look at what was used in the Bible. We look at what is used in history. And we overcome oppression and evil with the truth and the love and the grace and the power and the might and the ingenuity of God. Some of us are going to go to jail if things continue to go as they're going. Reverend William Barber, while praying in the state, in the Capitol in Washington, D.C., was arrested while praying there. In the meantime, while they have a room full of people praying in the area next to the Oval Office, they're able to go home after praying with and for the president. But others who pray are arrested, and yet this president is saying he wants to protect Christianity. Christianity don't need no protecting because God is the God of Christianity. Yet he wants to protect certain kinds of Christians. Christians who kiss his behind. Christians who are not prophetic, but they're puppetic. They're puppets. And they can go freely, long as they say what he wants to hear. And you have the church now, rather than being the head, being the tail. And that man is just wagging them and using them. While they call themselves patriots, we call ourselves disciples. We're disciples. We got history on our side. But above all, we got the God of history on our side. And when God shows up, truth shows up. When God shows up, love shows up. Tenacity shows up. Wisdom shows up. Righteousness shows up. So when we show up to love our brothers and sisters, just as in the back in the day with my parents, it was the color of skin that drew the line that allowed people to have certain advantages and others to have disadvantages. Poverty was created because of this kind of discrimination and injustice, but we have been able to push through and press through for the past 60 years to see the tables beginning to balance some. But now we're seeing someone who is led by the spirit of white supremacy, who wants to put down all of the advancements that our people fought for, bled for, died for, were shot for, hung for. He's signing executive orders to get rid of in under 100 days. But we're not going to accept that. We're not going to be quiet about it. Not only am I fighting for myself, but I'm fighting for my grandson and my grandchildren that are going to come. For these students who just graduated, that they can continue to live in this kind of country as opposed to going down a hellhole of discrimination and debauchery. The church, we are God's system, the immune system, to fight and ward off the diseases of the culture to keep the country healthy somewhat. But when the immune system loses its power, or as Jesus said, when the church loses its saltiness, because we've been stepped on and trampled on by the world, man, we can't do anything. But when we choose to be salt, when we choose to be light, when we choose to stand up for people who don't have the legs or the energy or the strength to stand up for our veterans, when we stand up for people who fought for this country, but now they're being discarded as if they're trash. No, we're standing up. We're fighting for those who need people to fight with them and for them. Last week, we ended up going to an elementary school that we serve weekly as a church. Our leader, LaSonia Thompson, led us there. It was Career Day. And they asked us to come and speak. When a church gets invited to a public school, they felt the love of Jesus because week after week, that Strong Tower trailer pull up. And them kids come out and they get clothing, they get food, they get a hug, they get encouragement. Oh, the school says they are advocates. They help us. They come alongside. Oh, my goodness. And so we went up to the school and they told us we could share with the kids. And I talked about what a leader is. I said a leader is somebody who knows the way, goes the way, and shows the way. We couldn't talk about Jesus, his name, but we could talk about the things that Jesus represents all day long. I told LaSonia, they're going to invite us back. Because not only did Jackson and Felicia and Pastor Joel, we were all there loving on these kids, but LaSonia had some snacks and some treats lined up for these kids. And man, when they went out, everybody got a bag and they got stuff put in that bag. We were just blessing them and loving on them and letting them know somebody cares. And there were so many Latino students there. And that when LaSonia was coming to the school, she saw the ice buses outside, and they were up there abducting people, and it just broke her heart. It broke our heart. It messed the principal up. The principal couldn't even really function well because the principal was wondering what was going to happen to his students that day, because they were just putting the net out, grabbing any and everybody. And I told Lasagna, they're going to ask us to come again. Matter of fact, we want to go again. What can we do? God will show us. We have historical record. We have biblical record. We have God on our side. And we're going to love his people made in his image. We're going to love them. Let's stand for prayer. This is a test. God is going to use this man, this administration, to grow the church. And sometimes God grows by subtraction. God separates the real from the fake, the wheat from the tares, the Christians from the questions, the saints from the ain'ts. He'll use this time to grow. But I remember white folks back in the day who heard that it was illegal to house runaway slaves. They worked in conjunction with Underground Railroad conductors who created a route whereby they opened up their homes and broke the law in order to have people hide in their houses in order to get to freedom. We read about that stuff and say, oh, warm and fuzzy, doesn't it feel good? Well, guess what? We're coming back to that day now. But what are we going to do? Are we going to turn a blind eye, have a deaf ear, think that as long as it doesn't affect me, we're all right? But that's not what it's all about. J.D. Vance talked about your neighbor as just somebody in your sphere. No, Jesus didn't define who your neighbor was. He said, love your neighbor, whether they are documented or undocumented, whether they speak English or whether they speak Spanish, whether they are wealthy or whether they are poor, whether they are red or blue, Republican or Democrat, charismatic, Pentecostal, love your neighbor. Gay, straight, love your neighbor. That's that Jesus stuff. And that's what Strong Tower is about. Father, you did this in our hearts. We're following your son who was a revolutionary. And his greatest battles was against religious people. Lord, he couldn't even get to hurting people without having to go through religious people. Who in synagogues, they wondered if he would heal people who had shriveled hands. And they wondered if he would touch women bent over and had infirmities for 13 years. They wondered if he was going to receive the woman caught in sin who was weeping at his feet. But I'm so glad he didn't let them stop him from touching and delivering and serving and saving your people. Oh God, thank you for Jesus who went to jail even though he never committed a crime. Thank you for Jesus who stood with the disenfranchised, who told his people, go out to the highways and the byways and bring those on the margins into my house because there is food and meat and drink indeed. And Lord, as we go down this hall to pack boxes, as we go down the hall to deliver these boxes to people, they are your people. People that you love, and you set this church up to touch them in your name. Oh, God, continue to bless this house to be a blessing. Use us, God, for your glory. Use us up till you take us up. Now unto him, my God, who's able to do, yes, exceedingly and abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. And it's according to the power, the Holy Ghost power that's working in us. To him be all of the glory, all of the majesty, all of the dominion and the power from now and forevermore. And all of God's people said, amen. Hug somebody. Hug somebody before you leave. Hug somebody. Meet us down the hall. Let's pack some boxes.